What's shaking, wrestling fans? It is Monday, March 17th, and it is time for us to gather together after the conclusion of Raw, as we always do, for the Raw post-show. I will be your host this evening, Mike Payton. I missed you guys last week. I was unfortunately having to work for the Army Black Knights, helping the women win the championship game. I didn't actually help them. I just helped the game exist, I guess. So in a way, I did help them. We got a little bit of a shakeup in our cast tonight. First off, let me introduce the rarity that we have on the show tonight, Mr. Miguel Leon. Welcome to the Raw Post Show, Miguel.
Representing the Retro Unlimited site, guys. Yep.
Okay. Also with us, Mr. Steven Huego. What's shaking, Steven?
I'm good, man. The show wasn't good, but I'm good.
Oh, good. Well, we'll dig more into that. And, of course, the leader of the Spark Out Moment Generation, as I decided to call them, Mr. Tony Mango. What's shaking, Tony?
My head after tonight's episode.
Really that bad? You guys really like think this was that abysmal of a show? I think we had a few good segments. As always, there's a lot of filler, but I think the first segment was pretty good. The Shield bit was kind of fun.
Well, let me give you my perspective on it, because this is my first 3-hour Raw that I've watched since I got this new job. Before, when I was working my old job, I used to work Mondays, so I never saw a 3-hour Raw live in the 3-hour era. So this is actually my first one. So maybe it is as bad as people think it is, and I'm just looking at it through, you know, kind of rose-tinted glasses, but I didn't mind tonight's episode. I just, given that this is my first 3-hour show, I guess the one thing I can say about it is that it was just way too long. The content was fine. It's just, you could have maybe fit all of this in a 2-hour program, and it would have been a lot better. It would have probably ran more smoothly.
Yeah, I mean, one thing we often have as a common opinion here is that often these shows can seem significantly better if you just cut out about an hour of this and cut it to a 2-hour show. The shows would be improved more so than you would think they would, like possibly 3-4 times what they would have been before. But as I usually start the show, I usually go around and ask guys what they came away with. Miguel already went, so why don't we take it over to Tony. What did you come away with from this show?
As you said, it was a lot of filler, but I don't know if I would say that that's what bothered me. I think it's just kind of everything was very bland. There was a lot of things that were supposed to mean a lot, but they didn't actually have that kind of fire behind it. I mean, we're going to talk about each segment and break it down. I don't want to go into too much detail, but that end segment, for instance, it went on far too long, and it just didn't have any kind of passion to it.
Long is an understatement. I think I had a birthday during that segment.
Happy birthday, Miguel.
Wago, what about you? What did you come away with the show feeling?
I'm pretty much on the same boat as Tony. It was just a lot of the same, but there was nothing behind it, and I just felt so drained in the show that I ended up just doing a whole bunch of little side projects then have it on in the background, so it was really hard to take anything away from it. It was just a really bland show.
Well, we got our opening opinions out on there. Just let everyone know listening that we are going to be opening up the phone lines to you starting at 11:30, so you can give us your opinions if you want to get in line. The phone number to dial, area code 760-512-7247. We also have another number. I haven't committed it to memory yet, but you'll see it on the broadcast page here. That number is the safe to call in with as well. We also have the chat room rolling, and we could also use the hashtag Raw Post Show on Twitter. Lots of ways to get involved. We always like to make this an interactive show for you folks. So while we start us here on the panel by talking about, well, I guess what we're all most excited to talk about, I'm sure, how the show went off the air, the most advertised portion of the show, Triple H said on SmackDown this week, actually, that he is going to be taking care of the Daniel Bryan problem, so to speak. He's advertised it throughout the night as well. We had a backstage segment where he was speaking to Stephanie, and he was basically saying, I'm going to call him out like a man. We're going to take care of this. Don't worry. I got this. Stephanie says, yeah, well, you better. That was kind of a fun little segment, I suppose. But when the time actually came, when Triple H came to the ring at the end, called out Daniel Bryan, at first, I thought the segment started out pretty good. The speech that Triple H gave Daniel Bryan about how Daniel Bryan kept coming at him no matter how many obstacles he put in his way, no matter how much he dumped on him, which is funny, you know, shovel reference. But Daniel Bryan just kept going, and because of that, he earned his respect. And I thought that was a nice little put over by Triple H. As Triple H is getting out of the ring, Stephanie interrupts and says, respect? Are you kidding me? This guy broke the law, and because of that, on pressing charges, a brigade of police comes out, they knock down Daniel Bryan, putting in handcuffs. Triple H gets to the ring saying, no, this is not what I want. He calls the police off, and he says, besides, I'm going to enjoy doing this myself. While Daniel Bryan is down handcuffed, Triple H begins the mother of all beatdowns, I suppose you can call it, because it went on for about 20 minutes. I think this may have outdone Brock Lesnar's beatdown at Royal Rumble this year.
No chance. I still think the Brock Lesnar one was a hell of a lot worse. Probably longer, too.
I think they were trying to go for the same feelings. It almost reminded me a lot of when Austin beat up Michael Cole a couple years back. Like, God, that probably would have been a decade ago almost. But I think they were trying to go for that almost uncomfortable vibe. But it just went on way too long. Like, if they'd have cut it off maybe 5 or 6 minutes earlier, they probably could have salvaged it and would have gotten that visceral, just uncomfortable nature. But it was tedious after a while. You get numb to it, you know. After a while, you're not surprised by it. It's not shocking.
So one thing I didn't mention that they also added into this, last week we, of course, had the match confirmed, Triple H versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. Also, Daniel Bryan has the stipulation, if he wins, he gets inserted into the main event for the WWE title, making it a triple threat. Well, tonight, we had it shifted up a little bit more. This time, if Triple H wins the match with him and Daniel Bryan, he also will be inserted into that main event. I think this makes it feel a little bit more okay. Last week I wasn't on the show, but I was feeling like this was all a little rushed, a little forced. I was still happy for Daniel Bryan, glad he's going to be getting this opportunity, but it's like you knew this guy was going to be a big star how long ago, and you're trying to muck this all together when you could have done it a while ago. Not getting into that, though. Triple H now also has an opportunity to get into the triple threat. I mean, there's always a possibility they can do that Evolution versus each other match. I mean, you're not going to get Ric Flair in there, but I don't know. What would you guys think about that possibility? Tony?
I told everybody last week I am nervous about the idea that Bryan is going to beat Triple H by disqualification or something, and he's not actually going to put him over. Now, I guarantee it. I guarantee this match ends with some kind of a draw, and we get both of the men, both Triple H and Daniel Bryan, in the match for the title. That way, Triple H doesn't have to lose again, and Daniel Bryan can beat somebody else to win the championship. You'll end up having two matches where Daniel Bryan goes past the Authority and wins the championship at the end of WrestleMania. Everybody kind of gets what they wanted, but Triple H found a way to get out of it. It happens all the time.
Oh my goodness, I kind of hope we don't go that way. I remember the last time we had a four corners match at WrestleMania. Would you do this elimination style, or would it just be first pin?
First pin. That's the way you're going to do it, because otherwise Triple H would end up getting pinned.
Touche.
I would rather it be elimination style, personally. But that's, you know, if I were having it my way, they wouldn't have that kind of a situation anyway. It would just go to Daniel Bryan. Of course, he would have won the Royal Rumble anyway, but that's a whole other story.
Steven, what about you, man? How would you feel about the possibility, or how do you feel, I should say, about the possibility of Triple H getting himself into the main event now?
Yeah, when the stipulation of Triple H possibly getting into the match was not there, I was pretty much guaranteed that Bryan was going to win this thing, but now with Triple H in the mix, I'm kind of on the same ground as Tony, where I think he's somehow going to end up in the main event, and that scares the hell out of me, because I think the match with Batista being in the mix is going to be slow it down a lot. Adding Triple H, I don't think it's going to benefit it either. So less is more, and I'm not looking forward to with the idea of this being a fatal four-way.
Miguel, how about you? I mean, you're not an older fan. You started watching in what, 2003? So actually, you started watching during the heyday of the McMahon-Helmsley era. So
actually, I started watching it in mid 2000.
Oh, okay. Well, so you have a little bit more exposure to the rise of Triple H then. Do you think Triple H still has it? Do you think he's someone that can go into the main event now? Do you think this was necessary? How are you feeling about this whole thing?
I don't think we need him in the main event anymore. I don't deny that he still has drawing power, but I don't think that he really needs to be in the main event. At this point, the fix is in. You know, we know why he's in main events like this. You know, we know about the type of pull he has backstage. And, you know, I hate to sound pessimistic like everybody else, but I'm going to use a bit of history as an example. I'm going to go back to, and I looked this up when I heard about him, the chance of him being up. I'm going to go back to Armageddon 2008, when they had the big triple threat match between Triple H, Edge, and Jeff Hardy, so that Jeff Hardy could get the WWE title. You know, they spent that whole year up until that point building Triple H versus Jeff Hardy, that, you know, it was Jeff Hardy proving himself against the big main event guy, and then seemingly within the last month after that, they were able to get the belt off of Triple H, get it onto Edge, and it seemed like they did that just so that they could have Edge get pinned by Jeff Hardy to win the WWE title, you know, without having Triple H lose. That always came off to me as cheap, and I'm getting the same vibe here. I have a feeling that if this match does happen, I would not be surprised if Triple H actually wins, and then Vince comes back and puts Bryan into there. That way, Triple H can still have his winning moment, and Bryan can still technically win the main event title. But at the end of the day, what's it going to matter, you know? At the end of the day, even though we want to see him with the title, we really want to see him get his comeuppance against Triple H, and I just don't see it happening. I'm sorry. You know, history has not proven otherwise.
Well, we're going to be starting to open up the phone lines to you folks after we take a short break. We also got the chat room rolling, so you guys are a little bit quiet tonight. Why don't you pick it up in there? I know you guys must all be as enthused as we are after this in the evening's Raw. People are not too excited, but this show can still be fun, so let's get the pep going. We're going to be opening up the phone lines so you guys can get your opinions about the show. Let's see if we get some positive people out there, or if you are negative, no hard feelings. Come on here and bitch to us. We're always willing to listen to you, and of course, the rest of my team here will be happy to agree with you. That phone number, area code 760-512-7247. That's area code 760-512-7247. Get yourself in line. We're going to be back after a very short break, starting to open up the phone lines.
Hey, 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 Dace Tattoo Nation. It is I, Chris, the Dace Man Dace, host of the Dace Man Show, checking in with you guys to let you know of a new podcast debuting April 13th called For Real Movie Club here on Mega Powers Radio. Join me for the month of April as I moderate a panel of four movie buffs and we discuss Mel Brooks' film. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's April 13th. Tune your radios to Mega Powers Radio, and ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime.
Yeah, of course. Stay tuned for that. Lots of awesome shows coming up here on Mega Powers Radio. Big things popping, little things stopping, to pull in the wrestling reference there. Of course, we don't want to be referred to as the same thing as TNA. Forget that one. Never mind. I don't want to pull it. So let's open up the phone lines to you folks. Once again, number is area code 760-512-7247. First one on the line, our good friend from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, JD. What's shaking, JD? How you doing tonight?
Hey, guys. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you guys. How you guys doing tonight?
Oh, absolutely. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Are you filled with the Irish, JD?
Well, I'm a little Irish through my mother, mostly Italian, though, but I have a little wee Irish in me. And my girlfriend, who'll be serving, I want to give her a quick plug. It's her birthday coming up, probably turning 30. I love you, babe. Hope you're listening. And definitely a happy early birthday.
Oh, very sweet. Happy birthday to Mrs. JD. So, JD, we have
a... I'm not married. It's my girlfriend, Cordy. We've been together for close to a year. To answer your question now, as far as Raw goes, however, let's get to that. Once again, it shows that Stephanie and Triple H love to kiss each other's ass no matter what it seems like, however. Mind you, it just seems like, once again, they'd love to find a way to screw with Daniel Bryan. And once again, it just goes to show you that the Authority loves to continue to stick the screws into him in more ways than one. And once again, it shows that Triple H obviously has no penis because he obviously has a little vagina because his little whore has to say, you respect him? You respect him? Respect this. Once again, they continue to fuck over Daniel Bryan time and time and time again. But obviously, it just goes to show you that Triple H always loves to have his lips puckered around Stephanie's ass, it seems like, more ways than one. And what are they doing to Daniel Bryan? Yeah, he has that one good moment last week. This week, oh, let's fuck him over and beat him down because of security, and no one's going to come out and save him. I mean, for weeks we've been hearing Vince is wanting to come out. I hope, and I've been saying this for weeks on end, I hope to God that Vince comes out of WrestleMania and sticks it to his son-in-law and Stephanie. I mean, seriously, it's time to end this goddamn Authority storyline. We've seen enough of it. I mean, Daniel Bryan has been fucked over how many times? Time and time and time again, he gets screwed because of Stephanie and Triple H's little power play. Enough is enough of the bullshit. Seriously.
So I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess that you're not happy about Triple H having a possibility of being in the main event.
Why should he? He's had his time. All he is a little ass-kissing guy, however, that has to get his way because he has to have a little wife, basically. I mean, last week, Daniel Bryan, yes, it should have been one-on-one all along. But, of course, every week, however, like I said, you have Corporate Crane, you have Stephanie, and Triple H just put the nails and the screws into Daniel Bryan. I mean, yeah, sometimes Daniel Bryan gets his heat back. Like I said, last week, the trending yes movement was a big thing. And he keeps saying, this is my ring. She's like, this is my ring. You disrespected my family. How about, why don't you just stay off TV for once, you whore? Why don't you go back home being mommy and wife to your little husband, Triple H? Seriously. We don't need to see you on TV. This storyline has run its course for the past year. And like I said, I'm going to be at WrestleMania in 3 weeks. And I will be one of the people leading the Yes Movement. But I'll tell you one thing. They don't give Daniel Bryan the win here, however. It's just a slap in the face in more ways than one. Because it just goes to show you that Triple H loves to have his power trip. It's bullshit. It's absolutely effing bullshit.
So let me ask you, JD. You're going to WrestleMania. Right now, it seems like there's nothing going on besides the main event matchup for the title and the matchup that has stipulations affecting the main event with Daniel Bryan and Triple H.
Exactly. Is there
anything else like you're pumped about going into this?
I thought originally it was going to be pretty good with Taker and Brock Lesnar. They haven't done dick with that at all. I mean, Paul Heyman comes out tonight, cuts a promo, and that's all he does. And now you got Taker coming out on main event tomorrow night for the first time ever.
Yeah,
Brock hasn't
that.
Been on. Yeah, well, Brock hasn't been showing up, apparently, at all the advertised appearances he's supposed to be at. Next week, you got Arnold Schwarzenegger being the guest host of Raw in Brooklyn, which is going to be interesting. I mean, the whole GM thing seems like they're taking the back seat. I mean, Kane obviously blames Jerry the King Lawler. I mean, you talk about another ass kisser. What about JBL continuing to kiss Triple H in the Authority's ass? You talk about a major ass kisser. JBL's the president of it, for God's sake. I mean, he continues to say, give me a break.
All right, Timecast telling us that we got another call on the line. We're going to be moving along. So, JD, before we let you go, as always, we like to ask the high point, low point of tonight's Monday Night Raw. What'd you think of the show?
Low point, I'm going to say low point was the end of the show. It was an absolute bullshit ending, if you ask me. The high point tonight, however, I'm going to say, you know, I mean, I think the real Americans, even though they're not clicking right now, Howard, to upset the Usos, that was a little bit of a surprise, but I'm going to go a little bit better. I think it's going to be the Bray Wyatt promo. I mean, I think the Wyatts are getting now, it seems like, a face reaction along with the Shield, but I'm going to say the Shield taking out Kane was my high point of the night.
That was pretty damn sweet. We got to talk about that, but we certainly will. JD, thanks for calling in as always, man. Have a tremendous night. Hopefully we'll continue talking to you again, but if we don't, for any chance, reason, or anything like that, have a tremendous time at WrestleMania, man. I went last year, and, you know, you could say what you want about the show. Just the experience of attending a WrestleMania is always a fantastic time.
Well, I'll be on the next 2 weeks, definitely. I'll try to get in the night after WrestleMania if I can, so I'm going to be at the Raw show the night after, but if not, I'll talk to you when I get back a week after that, and I'll definitely tell you what New Orleans was like. This is going to be a fun time.
All right, tremendous. Have a good night, JD. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we certainly appreciate JD calling in and anybody who calls in. So if you want to get in line to talk to us here on the NPR Raw Post Show, once again, that number is area code 760-512-7247. There's a phone number you might see on the broadcast page. That number is safe to use as well. Don't be afraid. It's okay. It will get you on the line. You can also call in using Skype if you press the little Skype icon at the top of the page. And also the chat room is rolling nicely now. Thanks, guys. Good to see you all talking once again. iRadius, Joseph Stallman, Liberty Unlimited. Limited. Creepers on Radar just left. What the fuck, dude? Get back here. All right, we're going to take on our next caller here. Been a repeating caller we've been having here, so good to have him back on once again. Let's bring on Mr. Joey Hurt. What's shaking, Joey?
Hello, good evening, gentlemen.
How you doing tonight, Joey? We're absolutely tremendous. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Okay, very well, thank you. I don't know what to do on this day, but okay.
Joey, where are you from?
This is Brooklyn here.
Oh, you're from Brooklyn. Okay, so you should know plenty about St. Patrick's Day. You should see people going crazy in the streets on a day like this.
Be honest, I don't pay any attention to that. You know, I understand some drinking involved, but I really don't know the history behind the holiday.
No. That's good for you if you're staying out of the trouble, because the last thing I think I really feel like spending the day doing is vomiting green. So, okay. Joey, what'd you think about tonight's show?
You know, I'll have to say WWE is on a hot streak going into WrestleMania. I very much enjoyed this show.
It's always refreshing to hear, man. So what were some of the things that stuck out to you as awesome?
The top on my list is that I guess I'll have to call it Street Fighter style Tiger uppercut from Cesaro to one of the Usos as he was flying up the ring, and Cesaro caught him in mid-flight with this flying forearm uppercut. It was amazing to watch, and even better in slow motion when they replayed it.
I love that move. My problem is, you had that move, and it was super impactful. The crowd went nuts when they saw it, and rather than just going for the pin and continuing that excitement, he has to go and do that stupid neutralizer, which is not as awesome of a move.
Hey, it's awesome when he drops people on their head.
No, okay.
I think Cesaro deserves some sort of submission maneuver.
Oh, that could be neat. You give him like because a that stretch would... or something.
Okay, something like that. Maybe a little more intense or believable.
Or you could just hold on to their wrist and uppercut them until they tap out repeatedly.
Yeah, but someone of his technical prowess deserves a better move. You understand? And I don't know. It's not the worst move, but they need to refresh his finishing move anyhow. But the rest of his arsenal is very exciting to watch.
Absolutely. And Tony Cesaro is going to be a huge star to watch going through 2014. If you're not already watching NXT, which is readily available on Hulu Plus and now the WWE Network, tremendous show. And he is one of the shining stars on that brand. So you get to see a lot more of him there. And you mentioned submission moves. Majority of the people on NXT do seem to have some kind of submission move. And yet Antonio Cesaro hasn't seemed to be a person who's really solidified himself with one. So that's a really astute observation about him. Maybe it's something that he should be considering bringing into his arsenal. And like I was saying, get rid of the neutralizer. That uppercut is just way too awesome to not be the finishing move. What about this whole deal with Triple H tonight? What did you think about that, Joey?
I think that was good. I have no problem with it at all. What he did was stepped up the rivalry between him and Daniel Bryan going into WrestleMania. And so that was an amazing display, a thorough beating for the past 10 minutes, last 10 minutes of Raw. It was it was a throwback to Triple H of old, McMahon Hemsley era Triple H. Late 99 and early 2000s. Just the way it unfolded, you know, because this goes back to Jim Ross giving him the Cerebral Assassin moniker, because he played us. Well, I can't speak for anyone, but he played me. I thought he was really sincere about going out with the man-to-man and respecting and the dissension between him and the wife, but once again, he played me, and he showed his true heel capability.
I agree with you. I think the first 10 minutes of that segment were executed excellently. It absolutely reminds me of Triple H, where he used to abuse his power, and people say he abuses power all the time. But I mean, as far as an on-screen roles, I think back in the days of like when he was pinned by Chris Jericho for that title, and he abused his power to get the decision overturned.
That was 1999 when that happened. No, I'm sorry. May have been 2000.
So, Joey, I asked the last caller. Right now, it doesn't seem like we're getting a whole lot being pushed towards WrestleMania besides our main event matchup and Triple H versus Daniel Bryan. Is there anything else that's really whetting your appetite for WrestleMania? I mean, is this 30-man Battle Royal exciting you? Or what about Lesnar Taker? Is there anything else that's really gripping you to be like, yes, WrestleMania time is here?
I think... something, well, I can't say outside of wrestling, but I think an accident or something unfortunate happened to make this WrestleMania better. And what that is this other wrestler walking out. And so you can see in the segments, Triple H and Stephanie McMahon sort of giving these verbal jabs to that wrestler. But they're doing it to Daniel Bryan, but I can kind of detect this is a message to the other guy there. And so when I say this is an accident, if they didn't have main event plans for Daniel Bryan before, they definitely do now. So I believe Daniel Bryan ended up in the right place at the right time, and that's not taken away from his own skills and accomplishments. But he is the recipient of, you know, maybe backstage politics, and despite what maybe others think, I think he will not only win against Triple H, and he might win the title also. I'm less certain about him winning the title, but I believe he will be in the main event.
All right. Joey, as we always like to do here, your high point, low point for tonight's Monday Night Raw.
Okay. High point, I have to go back to that Cesaro uppercut. That was excellent display. He's consistent with the wow factor. Like, every week he does a move, or maybe more than one, that makes you yell at the television screen in a exclamatory way. And if you want the low point, I would have to say, you know, I have to make something up. And off the top of my head, yeah, because it was such a good show. So to fabricate this low point, it would be when Sheamus come out and he's wearing the Six Nations jersey, he should have faced Wade Barrett in lieu of facing this other guy, the primetime player, because that will continue the line of Irish beating the English as they did in the Six Nations. And what better way also on this St. Patrick Day? So when Wade Barrett made those comments against the leprechaun character, and Sheamus comes out, and he kind of looked at him and pointed at him, but he should have grabbed the mic and challenged him and say, you know, come down from that pulpit and get in the ring with me. And they should have had an impromptu match.
You're expecting Bad News Barrett to wrestle? That's just preposterous.
I hope so. Bad News Barrett, he was a...
I'm afraid I've got some bad news for you.
All right,
Bad
Joey.
News Barrett, yes.
Tremendous call tonight, dude. Thank you always for calling in, dude. Have a tremendous night, and hopefully we'll continue talking to you as we go through the rest of this WrestleMania season.
Okay, thank you. You gentlemen, have a good night.
You too, dude. All right, folks, the phone lines are continuing to be open as we go through the remainder of the show. Area code 760-512-7247. You can also dial in using Skype. Chat room is rolling nicely. Lots of interactivity. Open for you folks to get your opinion about tonight's Monday Night Raw. We're going to continue the conversation here on the show after we take a short break for these messages.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, 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 Dace Tattoo Nation, it is I, Chris, the Dace Man Dace, host of the Dace Man Show, checking in with you guys to let you know of a new podcast debuting April 13th called For Real Movie Club here on Mega Powers Radio. Join me for the month of April as I moderate a panel of four movie buffs and we discuss Mel Brooks' film. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's April 13th. Tune your radios to Mega Powers Radio, and ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime.
Oh, apparently the chat room is not happy that we're doing commercials now. We're sellouts.
I just got to point out the gimmick infringement, because I totally did that first.
Wait until you watch the next episode of Smack Talk, where it's got all those things that pop up on TV screens.
Well, here's the problem, Miguel. You didn't title the show.
Yes, you did.
All right, so let's continue talking about the show on Raw here. I have no idea what order to put this in, so I'm just going to be lazy and we're going to take it from the top. We already talked about the Triple H situation, but I guess let's talk a little bit more about our opening segment. We had Triple H come out first just pretty much to welcome the crowd. Gets interrupted by Batista and Randy Orton, and this is where we learn that Triple H is officially inserting himself into that possible main event if he beats Daniel Bryan. We already got our opinions on that. So let's continue moving on. We get Batista walking out, stopped by Renee Young, saying that coming back may have been a mistake, and Batista continues walking out of the building. Will we see him again? I guess we'll have to continue watching the rest of the show to find out. Our first match of the evening features the Usos against the Real Americans. I barely watched this match, being perfectly honest with you guys. I didn't tune in until like maybe the last couple of minutes, and I saw that fantastic European uppercut or whatever the heck the official name for that is on whichever Uso it was. If anyone can figure out an official way to figure out which Uso is which, like maybe one of them is always the one that has the face paint on the right side.
One of them has some tape under his boot, and yeah.
Okay.
It's clearly one of them is the one with the implants.
Well, Antonio Cesaro gets the pin after first getting that awesome uppercut, then getting the neutralizer. I already spoke my piece on my opinion on that with Joey Herp, so let's pass around to the rest of you gentlemen here. Miguel, what'd you think about this matchup?
I liked it. Like I said, I haven't really been desensitized by the constantly seeing the real Americans and the Usos fight each other, so I enjoyed it for what it was. I will say this, I had heard about it, but I didn't realize just how over Antonio Cesaro is with the fans. I mean, for a guy who's in a heel tag team that's supposed to be this, you know, uber America, you know, hating everybody who isn't American tag team, he's super over with the fans. He's over like gangbusters, and I don't know. I feel like WWE should do something with it, but I don't know what, because I like the dynamic of the real Americans, so I don't want them to split up. I don't know if they could make them faces, especially because you've got so many other tag teams that are seemingly down that same route. So I don't know. I don't know what you do with that crowd reaction, but it actually really did surprise me, honestly.
Steven, what about you?
The match was so-so. I was very in and out of it and had a hard time paying attention. I think it's just because I've seen it a few times, but Cesaro having a good showing as per usual, and it seems they've cooled off a little bit on the storyline with Cesaro and Swagger, but I'm looking forward to see where it goes.
Tony?
This was where I started to just kind of focus on other stuff, kind of like what Wago said earlier, where I was working on other projects on the side, and I had Raw in the background and all that. Other than that uppercut, I don't remember really anything about it, and I don't know if that's because the whole thing went by and I didn't actually pay that much attention to it, or it was just forgettable.
That doesn't speak very well for the tag team division going into WrestleMania. I believe the whole point of this was to make the Real Americans seem like they're back on the same page. You know, they teased all this dissension with all these teams. Now tonight, pretty much seem like they're solidified all these teams back on the same page.
So just watch next week, Darren Young and Titus O'Neil just come out together like, yeah, nothing happened.
You know what kind of sucks about this, though? They do this all the time where somebody wins a championship and then almost immediately they start making them lose to other people. And it's like, the Usos just won these tag titles, and now they're already like, oh, we got to lose to the real Americans so they can look like they have a shot. Can't they beat anybody? Like, can't the champions in WWE ever just, like, fucking be good? They have to have, oh, the contenders are always so much better than them.
Oh, look.
They're just props at this point.
The vets dropped the belt and no one cares anymore.
That's true. The New Age Outlaws weren't even on the show tonight. What the crap?
Syphilitis.
What?
Billy's got syphilitis.
Oh. What the hell that means. So next we come back from commercial. We have Hornswoggle passing out a bunch of St. Baddie's Day crap. Bad News Barrett interrupts, saying that everyone is going to be spending the day getting drunk and doing things that they later will regret later on in life. We get a match between Sheamus against Titus O'Neil. Titus O'Neil coming out with this absolutely ridiculous hat and beard thing on. We had Christian on commentary during this match, and once again, I don't have a single note about this match, other than I remember JBL dropping a blue dot joke during it. I thought that was pretty clever. Anyone else got any opinions on this, Steven?
Nothing says you're a heel like coming out in a comedy costume. And what the fuck's up with Dylan? He's not even trying anymore.
He doesn't even look anything remotely like a leprechaun anymore. He was very plainly Dylan tonight.
Like, the full transformation's happening. I want them to just fucking announce him as Dylan at this point. And Wade Barrett's like, ah, a leprechaun! Where?
So we have a chance to do a little bit of education here. We have Joseph Stallman in the chat room saying, I don't get the blue dot thing. Who wants to take that one?
Christian's ugly.
No, okay, so Christian was doing some type of promo segment where he's standing in the ring with a microphone, and they were in the back in the gorilla position, as it's called, where Vince McMahon and the other powers that be are standing around a monitor watching what's going on in the ring. And Vince McMahon's watching him and scratching his chin, and all of a sudden he just blurts out, God, that guy is ugly. Can't we just, like, put a blue dot over his face or something? Yeah, that's the story of the Blue Dot.
Yeah,
is
I don't
know. Is that the real story?
Yeah, I don't. It was in reference to something like with one of your guys or president or something like that in the past. I don't know where the whole story comes from, but
Kennedy
yeah.
Royal.
There you go.
Kennedy. but it was a reference to a whole court scene thing where somebody didn't want to be recognized, so they put a little dot over their head for like the TV footage or whatever it was. So it's kind of like, oh, well, why don't we just put that over his face, but because he's ugly, not because of that. I'll tell you what else was ugly tonight, though. Christian on commentary.
Oh, my goodness, he wouldn't shut up.
Yeah, JBL and Cole were just kind of like talking over him, and Christian's just kind of like, this sucks.
May!
His best Taz impression.
Yeah. Well, then he should go to TNA. He'll get a permanent commentary job.
So, do you have anything about the actual match, Tony?
No. but I'll tell you what, Dylan's haircut, Jesus Christ.
You mean lack of haircut?
Yeah, I guess you could put it
that. He's starting to get to Daniel Bryan territory with that.
How bad is it that Sheamus is meant to be one of the biggest faces of the company and all we care about is Dylan?
Well, Sheamus is just going to be in the Battle Royal. He's not one of the biggest faces in the company anymore. Are you kidding?
Well, that's how they want to position him.
It's pretty bad that Titus O'Neil comes out dressed up like a complete idiot. But Dylan looked worse. That's like a haircut that he specifically wanted because he thought that it looked good on him.
He's not even Hornswoggle to me anymore. It's totally Dylan.
He's Dylan.
I like when the eventual posters come out for the Leprechaun origin story, and I just say starring Dylan.
Like, you see the smash cut on the screen they used to do with, like, you know, Schwarzenegger and then that new guy, the Joe Manganiello, and all that. It just goes, Dylan.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to feel like an asshole because I don't remember his name, but the famous movie voiceover guy for trailers died this week, which is a sad story to hear, of course.
One of them,
yeah. Hal something.
Hal Douglas.
Hal Douglas, there you go. Thank you, Miguel. Miguel, what did you think about this match?
You remember how I said that this show could have easily been better if they trimmed off about an hour? Throw this whole entire segment into that trimmed part, and it would have been not missed. This could have easily been a SmackDown segment. There was nothing to this other than the fact that it announced Sheamus as being part of that 30-man Battle Royal thing. Christian, to me, just seems like he's going through the motions. I think this is probably going to be his last year. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if WrestleMania is it. You know, I do feel as though they're building up to some type of match between him and Sheamus. Well, no, I don't know, maybe if Sheamus pulls double duty, they can build up to a Christian-Sheamus matchup for WrestleMania, but I don't see him getting to the end of the year. I think this is going to be it, and I don't know. It's just, I can't really think of anything else to say. This was a nothing segment.
So we have an update to the Blue Dot case. I think Tony had mentioned something about this, but Liberty Unlimited messaged me saying it is in reference to one of the women in the Bill Clinton sexual misconduct situations requesting a Blue Dot to be over her face.
Oh, I thought it was Kennedy.
Kennedy.
Where's the dot going to be blue?
Pretty sure it wasn't Taft. Nobody ever rings up Taft.
That'd have been Taft. Maybe Garfield.
Maybe Garfield.
Maybe Harrison.
Oh, goodness. We had John Cena coming out next. He says that he fears Bray Wyatt, but he will fight him at WrestleMania, and nobody cared. Right? No.
Same
about the John Cena bit? No.
John Cena had a bit?
Yeah, exactly. I left to go make myself some delicious pasta and meatballs. And when I came back, I see Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton in the ring, apparently in a no disqualification match. How the hell did this happen? Who decided this was a good idea to have these two face each other for the 50th time, only 3 weeks before WrestleMania?
They slipped it in the opening promo.
Yeah. By the way, if you'd have stayed longer, you'd have seen the Bray Wyatt bit after that, which was actually really good. He did a whole bit where he had a Cena shirt on, and he had an awesome line against Nikki Bella. It was actually a really great bit. I haven't really seen a Bray Wyatt segment live, so I really dug the heck out of it. I thought it was the shining light out of what would have been a nothing segment.
I would agree.
By the way, am I the only one that gets a Jake the Snake vibe from a lot of the Bray Wyatt promos?
Yes.
Hmm. I don't see it as much. Maybe in the cadence, how he always keeps a lower tone to the way he speaks. But not so much in his... what's the word I'm looking for?
Content.
The verbiage?
Not the verbiage, but the melody of how he speaks. Bray Wyatt has a very unique melody to the way he talks.
I'll start believing it when he starts cutting promos about, you got 23, I got 24.
So, Wago, what was the story about this Brian Wago? Brian Wago. Brian Orton.
Well, when I challenged Daniel Bryan, he said, yeah, you're on, man. They're bickering backwards and forwards, Batista, Triple H, and Randy, and he goes, oh, you want me to face Bryan in an ODQ match? I'll show that I can beat him. And that was the entire setup for this match. And he's like, yeah, that's a good idea. And then they didn't, like, bring it up ever again in the show. So that's where you probably missed where it came from. It was such it was such on the back burner where it shouldn't be.
Oh. Well, we get a kind of a funky finish with this. Batista, who we thought had walked out of the building earlier, ends up making a surprise appearance, running into the ring, spearing Randy Orton. Daniel Bryan hits the running knee on Batista, knocking him out of the way long enough to get the 1-2-3 on Randy Orton. Daniel Bryan runs away, getting the victory. Batista drops a Batista bomb on Randy Orton in the ring, pretty much declaring himself as the big lion going into WrestleMania, saying, oh, I'm here, I'm the animal, whatever the fuck he does. Whatever. Tony?
You know what's pretty funny about Batista tonight? Mm-hmm. They did that part where he put all his stuff away and he was going to leave the arena. And then they show him again later and he's still just kind of like walking around backstage in the same outfit. And Renee Young actually, I give them credit for doing it. She's just kind of like, well, I guess you're still here. Like, that must mean that you didn't leave, right? That was very awkward. I don't know what they were going with that. Like, the whole time, was he just kind of, like, walking around the different areas?
Well, that was the exact same area where they found him, too. So I think he was just, like, walking around the same area.
He was just, like, pacing back and forth. Just like, I'm the animal, damn it.
He sat in the corner holding his knees in a huff.
Just like, I'm going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy. People should like me better.
What about this matchup between two of the biggest stars of the company right now? You don't have anything to say about that?
No, not too much. I mean, this is one of those things where it might be a good idea. It might be a good idea to have those two face off against each other because it kind of builds some sort of tension towards a potential match at WrestleMania. Obviously, Bryan is not in the match yet, but you kind of can assume that he's going to be. But they need to be careful about that because they can't do like Daniel Bryan against Batista next week and then say Batista against Randy Orton the week after. You're going to run out of all your matches at WrestleMania. So I don't know why they necessarily picked today to do that as opposed to maybe next week, the week afterward. But in theory, I didn't think that it was too bad of an idea. They could have pulled it off better, though.
Wago?
I am not a fan of giving away any part of the main event before the big showdown, and this was a terrible fucking idea. There's nothing, I mean, what's Batista really going to do to contribute to the match and make it any different or spectacular? In fact, he's probably going to make it worse.
He'll shake the ropes.
You almost have to put Triple H in there, so the fans are getting something different. I fucking hate this type of booking. It was really stupid. The match itself wasn't bad, but I've seen it a million times. I don't care anymore.
Yeah. Miguel?
Given that I haven't really seen this matchup before, I know it's happened like a million times before this, so I can understand why people would be upset. But like I said, I have not really seen this matchup live at all, so I enjoyed it for what it was. But at the same time, I could see why people would be upset. There really is no reason from a booking perspective why these two should be fighting each other so close to the main event. Even if you suspend your disbelief and assume that Bryan might not get into the main event, given that we've seen this matchup so many times before that, to me it just waters down the credibility of both guys. You know, it makes Orton less special, you know, as a main eventer, and I don't know if it kills off Daniel Bryan's vibe as much, but like I said, I got to agree with Wago. Giving away a part of your main event for your biggest pay-per-view is not good booking.
And I concur with both of you. I don't understand why they just gave this match away. And it wasn't even like it was built up as something big. It was given away in the middle of the show and not even having an official ending to the match.
Honestly, I probably would have, and I thought this before, and this was actually the point in the night where it started to go downhill for me, because I liked this. Like I said, I thought the matchup was fine, and I liked the interplay between both the guys. This probably would have made a better end segment than the end segment we got. Like at that point, I was looking at it, I'm like, you know what? I could easily just shut it off at this point. Like, I could have easily just stopped watching it.
Yeah, I could agree. You could have had a no DQ match, and you could have somehow eventually had Randy Orton get Daniel Bryan in handcuffs, and then had Triple H come down and just beat Daniel Bryan for like 2 minutes and gotten the same result.
Yeah, like this would have been a great end to a two-hour Raw, but as is, it just kind of felt like just an unnecessary 9 o'clock main event.
Do you guys think that this would have been better if it was a Memphis street fight?
No, I think it would have been better if it was a barroom brawl.
Maybe Belfast brawl.
Oh, it would have been appropriate. It's St. Paddy's Day.
Yeah, you could have added Dylan into the match.
I'm surprised that the Titus O'Neil Sheamus match wasn't booked as a Belfast brawl.
Should have been Dylan on a pole.
Oh, my goodness. Well, the conversation rolls on here on the NPR Raw post-show. If you'd like to join it, dial in. The phone number is area code 760-512-7247 or press the Skype icon at the top of the broadcast page. And the chat room is still balling on with people in there. Joseph Stallman, I see you typing. Oh, you're calling in. Good. We'll get you in on here. So you know what? We're going to get... it's fine. We got time, Cow. We had Paul Heyman coming out on stage to speak on behalf of his client Brock Lesnar. He doesn't speak very long. Instead, he shows a video package showing how over the past number of years, the streak has gotten tougher and tougher and tougher for The Undertaker to defend each year. And it seems each time that it might get closer and closer to being lost. And that Brock Lesnar, coming into this WrestleMania, has been quite a force to be reckoned with, most notably after his recent victory against Big Show, where we saw a similar beatdown where he pretty much just killed Big Show with a chair for, what, was that an hour? It was pretty long, I remember. Something like that. I thought the video package was cool. Aside from that, I guess there's not much to say. It was just some fun eye candy to watch for 5 minutes or however long it was. Now, you guys got anything else you want to add to that?
Cool video package. I liked it. I like how they're just acknowledging the fact that Undertaker is getting older. Mm. Kind of like, instead of trying to pull the wool over our eyes and go like, oh, he's stronger than ever, just, you know, be honest. He isn't. And if it's even bigger if he ends up beating Brock Lesnar because of that.
True that. We get a short little matchup between Fandango and Goldust. Goldust wins with the thing. I don't even know what that move is called. That suplex where he sort of spins him around.
Curtain call.
That's not the curtain call. The curtain call is when he has them, like, underneath and then lifts them up and drops them.
Really? Mm-hmm. I thought that was the curtain call.
Who are we talking about?
Goldust.
Oh. It might have been the curtain call.
Is that Shattered Dreams, or is that when he kicks him in the balls?
When he kicks him in the balls.
When he puts your legs up in the corner and kicks you with the balls.
Yeah, the move.
Doesn't get disqualified somehow.
Yeah, I don't know what the point of this matchup was, but I guess it was just to fill time, and it did it.
I do have to ask one question. Did anybody notice some weird hostility in Goldust at the end?
Yeah, something happened there. I don't know what it was, but I thought that I overheard him say, "Watch out for my legs." And then Fandango went to pick him up and fell. And then I was like, oh, well, maybe it wasn't Goldust saying that. Maybe that was Fandango saying, like, oh, you know, I don't know if I have enough strength in my legs to pick you up, but I'll try, or something like that. But I don't know. I mean, Goldust was bleeding a little bit on his face, but he kind of looked like he had something wrong with maybe his, like, chest. Or, like, I don't know, something was up with that.
Well, is it his legs, is it his face, or is it his chest?
Maybe it was all of them. Maybe he's just got really fucked up in this match.
Yeah, I'm willing to bet there was some sort of miscue. Something happened in there, and he probably was just pulling an HBK and just kind of, you know, being angry over it.
I think what happened was him and Cody, when they was dancing on top of the ramp, he tripped on his toe, and he was in a huff after that.
We had Kane coming out to the ring next. He said that last week's hijack of Raw from Daniel Bryan wasn't done by Daniel Bryan alone. He was aided by a Memphis native, and who else could that be? But, well, it couldn't be Elvis Presley. It had to have been Jerry Lawler. He calls for the Shield to aid him in getting Jerry Lawler into the ring. However, just when you think the Shield was going to attack Daniel Bryan and serve justice, they instead do the right thing, as they said they would do, and turn around and instead fight Kane, beating him down, giving him the triple powerbomb, and also including sick enziguri by Seth Rollins, and of course a badass spear by Roman Reigns. Pretty cool little beatdown, and I guess you could say this is the official face turn for the Shield finally. I'm digging it, and like I said, I think the Shield has a lot of time left, a lot of gas in the tank, especially if they turn them face. So, good move by them, and I look forward to seeing what comes in the future out of this. I'll take the time to give each of you guys a little opinion on this one. Miguel, what do you think about our potential Shield face turn, or at least it seems like we got it out of this?
Well, first off, let me just say I'm really happy they didn't have something bad happen to Jerry Lawler. I really am happy about that, because that entire segment had me cringing, not because of the segment itself, but because I really didn't want to see them resort to having to beat up Jerry Lawler. If I never see Jerry Lawler in any sort of action in the ring in WWE, I'm happy. Mm. In terms of the face turn, I liked it. I think the guys have a ton of potential as baby faces, and it's a little bit, I'm conflicted, because on the one hand, I would have loved to have seen somebody like a Roman Reigns or a Dean Ambrose split off and kind of go on their own, because I think they're really talented. But at the same time, I think you've got a good 6 months with these guys as baby faces. In fact, you can probably go to the end of 2014 on just a baby face run. I mean, you got to have some good heels, so they need to bring up some heels or turn one of the groups they have heels. But I think there's a lot of money in the Shield as baby faces.
Well, you certainly got the Wyatts to be their main adversaries for a period of time, but eventually you could bring the Ascension up. I think it would be fantastic heels for them to go against. They could be fighting the Authority, of course. And, you know, if you really need to just pass some time, why not three-man band?
Well, there was also those rumors coming out about the three-man team that they want to build up between Dolph, Miz, and Ryder. I could see those guys being great heels for the Shield to go against.
Hmm. I don't know. Tony, what about you, man? What'd you think?
I like the segment, and I'm a little bit worried about when it comes to WrestleMania, because I don't think that there's anybody really put in place for the Shield to fight at WrestleMania. I know the Wyatt family is already going to be tied up with John Cena, so that's kind of weird, but I'm going to sort of be optimistic and hope that they have sort of a plan. I do think there was one thing that they missed out on, though, here. Kane says to Lawler, "We've known each other for a long time." He couldn't have followed it up with, "I used to be your dentist."
Yeah, I was waiting for that. I remember when he used to look down in the mouth.
Right.
Some subtle, if they even did that.
We go way back, you know, those times in the chair, all the gas that we used to suck the other, you know. What? We had some fun times, didn't we? And now I'm going to kick your ass. Like, I like the Shield as a babyface team, though, as long as they are able to pull it off. If they're doing this just because they think that a knee-jerk reaction is going to sort itself out later on, then they might have problems. But it was cool. I liked it.
Wago?
I thought the segment was pretty cool. I'm interested to see where the Shield goes from here, because it's like, so they've done this so close to Mania where we thought they was going to split off and feud against each other, so I don't know what direction they take them. Is Kane going to team up with two other guys and have a match with them? Or is he going to just put a team like Ziggler, Ryder, and who was the other guy that Miguel said?
Ryder, Ziggler, and Miz.
Maybe something like that will happen, but right now I'm unsure what direction they go, or if they just end up in the 30-man Battle Royal, because they've obviously got to fill a lot of spots with that. So I enjoyed it. I'm glad they turned face, because it's something different for them. I'm just very interested in seeing what's next.
That would be such a waste to put the Shield into the 30-man Battle Royal. Now, what the heck are you doing with the rest of the card at WrestleMania? There's got to be something for the Shield somewhere in there. At least a U.S. title match for Dean Ambrose.
I still kind of maintain something that I brought up in my fantasy booking, where Kane should have other people like Del Rio and Sandow on his side.
I mean, what would be their motive?
They're just suck-ups. Okay. They're going to work with the authority. They're going to do whatever they can.
They want some fucking airtime.
Right, and maybe they can talk to Kane, and Kane could be like, hey, I'll pull some strings, maybe get you a title shot down the line, something like that.
And if all things go bad, you can work for my insurance company.
Right, yeah.
Reigns is, our iRadius is saying Reigns is smiling too much. I don't like it.
He's going to be a star, man. I really hope WWE doesn't drop the ball with him.
Don't worry about it, baby girl.
What am I, Renee Young all of a sudden?
All right, folks, the phone line's still open. Area code 760-512-7247, or use the Skype or the chat room. We're opening up comments all over the place for you to join the conversation here on the NPR Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. We're going to take a short break to hear a word from our sponsors, which isn't really a sponsor. This is a fellow show starting here on Mega Powers Radio. Tune in to hear what the rest of it is.
Hey, 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 Dace Tattoo Nation, it is I, Chris, the Dace Man Dace, host of the Dace Man Show, checking in with you guys to let you know of a new podcast debuting April 13th called For Real Movie Club here on Mega Powers Radio. Join me for the month of April as I moderate a panel of four movie buffs and we discuss Mel Brooks' film. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's April 13th. Tune your radios to Mega Powers Radio, and ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime.
Be sure to tune into that one, folks. Lots of awesome stuff going on here on Mega Powers Radio. Of course, all that you can check out at www.megapowersradio.com. Who's Mel Brooks? Who's Mel Brooks, sir? Please check out imdb.com and search the name Mel Brooks. I think you'll be quite pleased with what you find.
No. If he doesn't already know who Mel Brooks is, he doesn't deserve to know.
Oh,
your band.
Be nice. Be nice. We can always enjoy spreading the love and appreciation of things. Don't be a hater.
Yeah, Miguel, you fucking jerk.
Where did that come from?
I'm just going to go ahead and put a stop to that. We had our Divas match of the night, AJ Lee and Tamina teaming up to go against the Funkadactyls. Naoma sporting a very cool eye patch this evening with studded pieces all over it. I guess if you got to rock an eye patch, you might as well make it as cool as you can.
Wait a minute. Naoma?
Yes.
Yeah, you've been away too long.
She also debuts a new move, a springboard moonsault, and they went ahead and said that it was same move that Rob Van Dam used to use back in the day, and I think she did it pretty cool. Fantastic to see a little bit of a shakeup, and I guess you could almost call it high-flying in the Divas division. I think we can certainly expect to see more things out of Naoma in the future. Steven, what did you think about our Divas title? Oh, I didn't even mention. We had some tension between AJ Lee and Tamina. Nobody cares. Wago?
It's a badass eye patch. I kind of want it. But, Naomi's probably the best in-ring worker they've got in the Divas division right now. So, great to see her back after Oksana fucked her eye up. So, hopefully she can do the same back to her. And as far as AJ and Tamina goes, don't give a fuck.
Joseph Stallman saying she'd be a pimp pirate. She always got that booty.
Agreed.
Word.
That's a good... I think that's about as much as I have to offer about this matchup.
That's a good pun.
Tony?
Can somebody fill me in on this? We're going to do another little enlightenment kind of thing. If she had problems with that ocular whatever injury she had, and she couldn't fly because of that, now obviously she can. It's healed enough. I get that. But why does she still need the eye patch?
Still sensitive to light.
Light really is going to make that much of a difference?
Oh, because yeah. It's cool as hell.
You never had an eye injury? Your eye gets super sensitive to light.
I would think that wouldn't be anywhere near as much of an issue as like taking drop kicks and stuff.
I would think that the actual eye patch is probably padded. There's probably it's probably a stiff eye patch where it's got some padding under it to try to just help take some of that force.
Are you sure she's not just trying to resurrect the Paul Burchill gimmick?
I was about to say, it might be perfectly fine, and they're just trying to sell the injury longer, so when she wins the Divas title, or the Mania, if that's what they go with, it means more.
Or maybe she was just accessorizing her outfit, gosh.
Maybe. When we see Cameron wear one, then,
gotta wear one on the opposite eye.
But what was the injury exactly? Because I thought it was just a busted orbital bone.
Yeah, pretty sure that is what it was.
Oh, it's fucking fine. Everyone gets busted orbital bones in MMA all the time.
She should be wearing the Undertaker thing.
Or the Cody
Phantom of the Opera mask.
Yeah, why not?
She should have an ugly gimmick. Oh, wait, she was ugly. Never mind.
Wait, Christian's got that already.
Miguel, any thoughts about this Divas matchup?
Aside from agreeing with that last comment, not really. I mean, I'm glad that Naomi's back because she is one of the better workers in there, although... You know, although we really haven't seen much of Emma, and I've heard a lot of good things about her work rate.
Go on.
Oh, all right. In terms of the Tamina AJ breakup, I guess it leads to something. I mean, I'm kind of over the whole AJ thing. I don't go crazy over her like everybody else does. She's just kind of there. I mean. I can't really say anything else. It was an okay tag team match.
Indeed. So we had our next announcement of who is going into the 2014 Hall of Fame class, and it actually was announced on Facebook earlier today, which I simply do not understand. It was Mr. T! Pity the fool who doesn't appreciate Mr. T going into the Hall of Fame.
Well, they have to announce it through social media because he's a celebrity.
I just don't understand why he couldn't wait until the nighttime, you know? Well, then I guess, you know, you don't have that much daytime to get it out there, and then you have to wait until the next day.
Well, they said TMZ broke the story. Like, did WWE tell TMZ, or did it just get out to them?
No, I'm willing to bet WWE leaked it to TMZ because they knew that it would spread faster through TMZ than it would through their own product. You know, most people, your average fan doesn't watch WWE Raw. Your average person. But a lot more people, you know... cycle through TMZ than watch Raw, so I think they went with the safer bet.
Well, not to be that guy, but why does TMZ care?
TMZ has, for some reason, TMZ and wrestling have always had a weird relationship with each other, whether it be TMZ's relationship with the Hogans or just TMZ's relationship with a lot of other wrestlers. I mean, TMZ was the one that broke what's-his-name coming out of the closet, you know?
What's-his-name?
You know what I fucking appreciate? Anything positive. Most of the time, all they do is fucking pro wrestler mugshots anyway.
This is very true. What about Mr. T going in, Miguel? You like that?
I like it. I mean, Mr. T's a character. He's kind of one of those characters that no matter how cheesy he gets, you could always like him. I mean, I can appreciate the Mr. T character. It would have made a great wrestler back in the old days. But yeah, I mean, when they talk about how much of an impact he had on WrestleMania 1, I can't think of anybody else save for maybe Mike Tyson, who probably did more for WWE than Mr. T.
Certainly tough, certainly long overdue, and I think it's perfect timing with WrestleMania 30, biggest WrestleMania of the year, and trying to celebrate all the past WrestleManias. You know, you're having this Andre the Giant Memorial, you're having Hulk Hogan host it. Why the heck not get Mr. T involved as well?
My question is, what did it take for them to actually get Mr. T to agree to this? Because I know for the longest time there was a lot of animosity between them and Mr. T over Mr. T not agreeing to be a part of the Hall of Fame so long as Pete Rose was a part of it, I believe. Either that or he was upset that Pete Rose got the first invite over Mr. T. But there was a while where they wanted Mr. T in there and he refused. So we gotta wonder what it took for them to finally get him in.
He probably just got over it. Time heals all wounds. Can't be a little bitch about these things forever.
They said they're going to take Drew Carey out, and that made him happy.
Steven, you happy for Mr. T?
Hell yeah. There's only two people with the addition... Well, there's only one person in the Hall of Fame within the celebrity wing that deserves it right now, and that's Mike Tyson. And Mr. T's the only other person that deserves it. Drew Carey shouldn't be in. Donald Trump shouldn't be in, though there's more of an argument for him. And fucking Pete Rose shouldn't be in either. So it's nice to actually see some of the celebrities that did something get some credit and going in.
Truly. Tony?
I'm 100% down for this. I had said before that I really, really wanted, above all else, Mr. T to go into the Hall of Fame this year. The Ultimate Warrior thing, I was even, opposed to that idea to an extent. And I would go so far as to say I would rather Mr. T be the headliner than the Ultimate Warrior. I don't know. There's something about the idea of Ultimate Warrior being the last guy that it's unsettling to me. And if you're going to be able to get Piper and Hogan and Mr. T and Orndorff on the stage, and you can end it off with that. Maybe it's just because I like things going full circle, and that would be like a nice way to do WrestleMania 1 and then WrestleMania 30, and there you go. It kind of encapsulates itself. I don't know. I like it a lot, though. I think that this is awesome. This is the best announcement that they've done for Hall of Fame this year.
Now, what if they still announce Scott Hall? Now, what if they decide to do the whole DDP bringing up Jake Roberts and Scott Hall at the end?
Nah, not as important.
You think that there's enough time to do that? I mean, we've got two more weeks left till WrestleMania, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, they can announce it this week if they really wanted. I mean, I would do it on a Raw. But, yeah, I think there's still time for another, at least one, maybe even two more announcements.
Yeah, but this is Scott Hall, though. I mean, Scott Hall would, you know, even putting his past aside, he's a pretty substantially big star. I mean, he would probably be, if not your first induction, probably close to it. I don't know if you can really have him be the...
I don't know if I would put him that big.
Hell no, he's not that big. I don't think he was ever a fucking draw. Shit, Kevin Nash, maybe. If Kevin Nash can go on his own, I still wouldn't put Scott Hall on his own. I don't think he can do it. I'd put him with Jake because of the DDP thing, or he goes in as the Outsiders or the NWO.
No, I think you could put... come on. Given the other people that are in the Hall of Fame, I think Scott Hall deserves an induction.
I'm kind of in the middle between you two. Like, I don't think he has anywhere near the star power to be a headliner. But I think he could definitely go in on his own. I mean, Razor Ramon was a huge character from the moment he came in. He was in the ring with, you know, he's taking the place of, who is he taking the place of? Was it Ric Flair? I mean, that's big shoes to be filling there. And he was in the ring with Sid and Mr. Perfect.
As far as if he can go in this late, I say, yeah, it's probably the later the better. Is he clean this week? Sweet. Get him in.
Exactly. You know, you got to do it while the timing is right. You know, everyone's happy with this whole thing that went down with the DDP situation. So I think if you got the if you got everything lined up, you better do it. We had a pretty insignificant 8-man tag match. Ryback, Sol, Damian Sandow, and Alberto Del Rio. How far has he fallen? Against Big Show, Dolph Ziggler, Mark Henry, and the Intercontinental Champion Big E. This is pretty much a match to showcase people who are going to be involved in that 30-man battle royal, and as such, they spent majority of the end of this match throwing each other over the top rope, which just felt so forced. End with Big Show getting the choke slam on Damian Sandow for the pin, and that's about all you got to say about that. Right? Right? Good.
Actually, this was my match of the night.
Really?
Yeah. I thought everything on this card fucking blew other than this. I really enjoyed it.
Why?
Well, one, Dolph Ziggler can sell a beatdown, so that was entertaining. And then I loved the whole everyone going over the top rope, and it built to a really fun finish, and the fans popped for it. It was the first time that the fans actually gave a shit tonight.
Okay, well, there you go. We had another match that I would call insignificant. Bray Wyatt versus Kofi Kingston. Man, I forgot Kofi Kingston was even a thing.
He's a thing?
Yeah. Apparently he is. Bray Wyatt gets the win in this. No big deal. Just another showcase for Bray Wyatt. And the last bit of news we had on Raw is that next week we are going to have another celebrity involved. Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to be in the house. I'm pretty excited for that. And he's going to have some other dude. I don't even remember what his name was. Tony's the celebrity guy. He'll probably tell you. Be excited for Arnold to be there. Anybody?
Yeah.
You know... I'm at the point now where I'm okay with them bringing back celebrities to be, you know, occasional hosts of Raw. I'm okay with it, and I'm a big Arnold fan, so, whatever.
I think, for shits and giggles, he should try and pass the wellness policy by and see if he gets a violation.
I do think it's pretty funny, though, that they specifically mentioned during a promo tonight Triple H being pissed off about movie stars telling him what to do, and they not only advertised Arnold Schwarzenegger and Joe Manganiello, but they advertised a Scooby-Doo movie, they had Dylan come out, and they started doing this whole thing with, and we've got a TV show now with Slam City.
Hypocrisy? What's that?
Man, I don't even remember where the heck I was going to go from there.
Slam City.
Oh, Slam City. Anybody watch Slam City?
No.
I actually think it looks kind of fun. I mean, I'm not a child, so it's not going to be something I'm going to be completely entertained by, but whatever. I'm actually shocked it's not on the network.
I'm actually shocked. You know what? I could see that being picked up by, like, the Cartoon Network. I could see that being like something that they would put on maybe some like weekday morning type show to kind of fill time between episodes of the Adventures of Gumball or whatever stupid show they have on there.
Don't act like you don't watch it, Miguel. Go on, tell us the line.
Only for Adventure Time, because it's Adventure Time.
Joseph Stallman asks us, dear panel, why do y'all not like Bray Wyatt? Hey, we significantly are more positive on Bray Wyatt than we were at the beginning of this calendar year. I'll tell
True
you that.
True that. I'm in a love-hate relationship. I hate his in-ring work. I minus a few matches, and I love the guy's character.
Yeah, no, everything about the character, the promos, the package, the videos that are made for him, all that is just absolutely fantastic. The ring work's fucking terrible from all
yeah.
of them.
I'm a big fan of Jake the Snake. What are you talking about?
No, I like Bray Wyatt. I just have no interest in seeing him in the ring. You know, he does nothing for me, and Kofi does even less, so they just kind of negated each other. It was a wash.
I like them.
I wish they would wash, especially Luke Harper.
And Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins is winning me over. I'm starting to really dig Seth Rollins.
Still a fucking homeless man.
He's still totally homeless. Speaking of being homeless, we need to pay the bills, so we're going to take a moment for an advertisement. When we get back, it's going to be time for the good, the bad, and the ugly here on the NPR Raw Post Show.
Meow.
Hey, 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 Dace Tattoo Nation, it is I, Chris, the Dace Man Dace, host of the Dace Man Show, checking in with you guys to let you know of a new podcast debuting April 13th called For Real Movie Club here on Mega Powers Radio. Join me for the month of April as I moderate a panel of four movie buffs and we discuss Mel Brooks' film. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's April 13th. Tune your radios to Mega Powers Radio, and ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime.
All right, so I lied. I said when we come back, we're going to be doing the good, the bad, and the ugly. We actually got a caller on the line. I want to make sure we get him in here, so we're going to bring him in. Caller from the 817 area code. You're live on the Mega Powers Radio Raw Post Show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
It's Brian the Brain. How you doing?
Brian! We haven't heard from you in a while. What's shaking, Brain?
Oh, not much, man. I was going to comment about the stupid Slam City show. A friend of mine's been watching it. He actually said, it's got the Adult Swim humor with the WWE wrestlers, and it's kind of like a train wreck that you can't stop watching. And eventually, it will be on the WWE Network.
Oh, well, you piqued my interest with saying that it's got some of that subtle adult humor into it.
Yeah, it's. I don't know if it's going to be directed more towards kids later on or what they're trying to do, but it's one of those things where I don't know if I'll watch, but a friend of mine actually piqued my interest when he said, you know, it's got that Adult Swim quality jokes to it, so we'll see.
Well, did you watch tonight's show tonight?
Well, I did watch tonight's
show. I don't know when else you would watch it, but...
Yeah, it's Monday, it's Raw.
Yeah.
What I do, you know.
What'd you think about it?
I liked it. It was a good show tonight. I mean, the matches weren't great, but there was a lot of good builds for Mania. A lot of great jabs from Triple H to CM Punk. You know, that's basically what I think he was doing. I mean, yeah, it's forcing Daniel Bryan, but I think overall he was just, it was all, you know, they were blasting towards Punk. And that's great because tonight was a Triple H we have not seen in a while, and I like that Triple H. I want to see him beat somebody down. I'm glad he inserted himself into the meeting of possible three-way title match. I like that Triple H. I don't like the corporate suck-up Triple H that he is. I would rather him beat somebody down, be the game, don't be lame.
Yeah, you know, I think the attitude that we saw from Triple H throughout majority of the night was definitely refreshing. It's just that beatdown at the end. It just went too damn long. And you know what? It pretty much was like two steps forward and five steps back at the end of that.
It was like it was a rehash of a beatdown Vince McMahon did on Austin. And a lot of people go, well, there was people on mine going that they never used Billy Clubs on Austin, but yeah, but it was the same thing. They put the handcuffs on them. They weren't real cops. And then, you know, Vince came in, attacked Austin. Triple H came in and attacked Bryan. The thing is, it did go too long, and then there was no save for Daniel Bryan. Nobody came out. Big Show, nobody. I mean, that's the whole thing that I didn't get. I mean, somebody should have come out there at least and try to help Daniel Bryan out.
Yeah. So what else are you looking forward to going into WrestleMania? You said there was a lot of hype built for it. I mean, I got to think, besides, I said this a few times, besides the main event matchup for the title and the Bryan versus Triple H, there's not a whole lot to get truly excited for. What's catching you?
The 30-man Battle Royal. Really, I mean, I know they got a lot of spots to fill yet, but I like the idea of an Andre the Giant, award for the winner of that match. Of course, I think it will probably be a big man. I think either Big Show or Mark Henry will probably should win. I don't want some small guy to win the Andre the Giant.
I wonder how big that trophy is. Like, who's actually going to carry that thing out for a year?
No, that's what I'm thinking. It's got to be somebody big. It can't be somebody small unless you obviously put it like on Cesaro or somebody that's strong enough to carry it out there and show it off for a year. Because you got to. Once you win that, you got to show it off for a year.
My Dylan pick Will. is Alexander Rusev, who wasn't even on the show tonight. That's bullshit.
No, I got a very safe pick of my own.
Yeah, is it Big Show?
It's gonna be El Torito.
It's gonna be Big Show.
Can you imagine him spending the rest of the year having to carry that giant trophy around? Comedy!
Fuck that, Dylan's got the edge.
Yeah, man, he's got that movie to promote. You know, that's how they always do it. They always give the guy with the movie to promote a push.
Yeah, plus he waddles more than El Torito, so it'd be funny watching him carry it.
Joseph Stallman giving me the knowledge. It's not actually the size of the real Andre, Peyton. Thanks.
That would be kind of awesome. Solid gold, too.
Shit, Big Show would have to, but he's the only fucker that can possibly carry it.
Brian, Mr. T's in the Hall of Fame. What do you think about that?
I think so. I mean, he should have been in a long time ago, and what's going to be greatness is to see him and Piper and Hogan and all, you know, Paul Orndorff, because there was, a lot of people don't realize that, like, Mr. T and Piper actually really do hate each other. It's not just, like, at the wrestling. It was, like, a major, major hate. I mean, there was, like, they were getting into fights outside the arenas. It's going to be interesting to see what happens on that stage.
Yeah.
But he should have been in a long time ago.
All right, Brian, we're all getting ready to wrap things up here. So I'm going to be cutting this call a little bit short. As we always do, your high point, low point for tonight's show.
High point, Triple H, Sean Tyler, Daniel Bryan. Low point, Divas match wasn't that great.
Good choices. All right, Brian, we appreciate you making it in just in time. We haven't seen you in a while. We missed you. Glad to have you back on the show, and we hope to continue hear you going through the rest of this WrestleMania season.
Oh, yeah. You'll hear from me.
All right. Have a good night, Brian. Take care, dude.
You too. Bye.
All right, folks. With that, we're probably going to be shutting down the phone lines. We appreciate everyone who called in. Chat room's still going to be rolling. We're going to be going into our final segment we have in the show, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. So for those who are first tuning in to us while we have this segment, this is where all of our panelists here recount the show and give you what we thought was the most good, the most bad, and the most ugly. The absolute most horrendous, jokey thing on there that WWE should be embarrassed for having on their show. So
most ugly, isn't that default Christian?
Okay. Tony, why don't you go first?
All right. Well, first off, I want to mention most good.
Yeah.
The goodest.
Yeah,
but try and come up with something gooder.
The good, I'm a little bit 50-50 split here between Mr. T going into the Hall of Fame and the Shield segment, but I'd probably give the edge to the Shield just because they kind of keep it like localized onto one episode sort of thing. The bad, man, I was really tempted to give this to Bella Twins on commentary because they were pretty awful, but I'm going to have to give that to the voice acting on Slam City. You can totally tell that they're not the actual people, and it's just terrible. The ugly, maybe the character models of Slam City, but the edge has to go to Dylan's haircut.
Yes! He took my ugly. Oh, Steven, you're good, bad, and ugly.
Oh, shit, it was actually hard trying to come up with something good, so I'm just going to go ahead and say that tag match that's promoting the Battle Royal. As far as my bad goes, it was Triple H dropping the little subtle dig at CM Punk taking his ball home. Fuck you, Triple H. When he returns, you're going to regret it. And as far as my ugly goes, Dylan's haircut.
Miguel, you're good, bad, and ugly of tonight's show.
Good would probably be Bray Wyatt's promo because he referenced Nikki Bella by calling her John Cena's plastic girlfriend. The bad would probably be that 8-man matchup just because it felt so unnecessary and just useless. And the ugly, I think we could all agree, is that last segment. That whole thing was just... It personified Triple H. Boring, way too long, overly overly ambitious because it tried to be more than what it was. But overall, that whole segment, I didn't even finish watching it. I shut it off. We were actually poking fun at it. We were shocked it was still going.
I shut it off way too early. I was getting ready for the show. I turned my TV to black, and I brought you guys on the call, and I was like, is that the show still on in the background?
Yeah, I had my TV still on, and I'm like, are you guys like over there? Am I lagging here? And apparently not.
As far as my good, bad, and ugly, I think this is actually echoing Tony's exact choices. My good, I am going to go with the Shield segment of them solidifying their face turn, beating down Kane, coming to the defense of Jerry Lawler. I thought that was absolutely fantastic. The Shield is, of course, one of the most amazing factions to ever come through wrestling, and I think it's great that we're continuing to see development of their characters and now going in a completely different direction. I'm excited. My bad, I am going to go with the Triple H segment beatdown of Daniel Bryan at the end. That just went on too goddamn long. It took what could have been actually pretty good segment to help legitimize this whole forcing Daniel Bryan in last minute. And now it just feels fucking annoying because it went on too damn long. And the ugly, I am going to make it almost unanimous, Dylan's haircut. Oh my goodness, that thing was just freaking so damn ugly. Why did you bring him on TV? Why would you send that guy out there and say, like, yeah, we'll put the cameras on you?
Because it was St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, they could have got a leprechaun instead of some fucking ugly midget.
Couldn't they have brought out Finley instead?
Shit,
no,
yeah.
I think he's working for TNA, isn't he?
Oh, is he?
No, he got hired back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No one works for me.
Until the next time he sends out some Nazis or something. Or whatever he did to piss them off the first time. I don't remember what it was.
I don't think he sent out Nazis. I think he, like, told somebody to do, like, a superplex or something like that.
No, I think he had a heel go out there and, like, mess up the American flag at, like, one of these, like, VW Hall things.
That's right, The Miz.
So, yeah, that's The Miz.
Indeed. So, last thing we got to do here, folks, I'm going to give each of these hosts a little bit of time to tell you about what's going on in their lives, plug their projects, so you can check them all out, because if you enjoyed their time on here, certainly support everything else that they are doing, because all cool folks here, all doing very cool things. We like coming at you with lots of entertainment every day of this week, so now let's give them that opportunity. Steven, why don't you start us off?
March 23rd, here on Megapowers Radio, check out Addicted to Anime, live here, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're going to be discussing Elfin Lied. It's a horror anime, and it's probably one of the most controversial anime shows that isn't a hentai, so come on over, check it out, and see what you like.
Miguel?
Listen in tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on the Retro Unlim channel for the Untitled Movie Show, episode 11. We're going to be defending bad movies. We're kind of throwing it out to you guys over there if you guys also want to be a part of it. Basically, we're going to have people come on and pitch a movie to us that they like that maybe the majority of people or reviewers themselves don't like, and try to turn us around, you know, make us see what you see in whatever bad movie you like. So next tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, the Untitled Movie Show, episode 11, Defending Bad Movies, on the Retro Unlimited channel, blogtalkradio.com.
Fantastic. Tony?
SmartCountMoment.com is where you can find all the wrestling website stuff that I've got going on, and send in your application if you're interested in writing for the website or being an editor or anything else like that. Podcast is Smack Talk, which you can find on youtube.com/SmartCountMoment, as well as iTunes and Stitcher. This week, heads up, we're going to have a special live episode that we're calling The Road Trip to WrestleMania. 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on MegapowersRadio.com. We're going to run several different ads about it on the next Raw post show, and we're going to piss all you off. I'm kidding. we're going to be talking about the hot tags of the week. You'll be able to call in live and answer the trivia question of the week, so on and so forth. Check out my stuff on Bleacher Report and everything else under A Mango Tree.
Tremendous. Folks, if you enjoyed listening to my voice, please like me on all the social networks under the username MRPADEN. That's Mr. Payden. I'm on the Facebooks. I'm on the Twitters. I'm on the Instagrams. I try to always be active for you folks so you can know what's going on in the world of Payden. And if you enjoyed this show, please join us every single Monday night following the conclusion of Raw here on Mega Powers Radio. That's MegaPowersRadio.com, where we join together and talk about whatever went down on Raw. We'll be inviting you guys every single week. The phone lines will be open, the chat room will be rolling. We always like to have the most interactive post-Raw experience available out there. Screw whatever they got going on the WWE Network. That show's stupid. I watched it 1 week. Got nothing on us. Stay tuned here at Mega Powers Radio. Lots of other awesome things going down. We got shows almost every single night of the week, covering celebrity news, covering sports, and we got lots of new ones coming up as well, such as the Four Real Movie Club, which you heard mentioned a number of times throughout with that awesome commercial. I know y'all loved it. And of course, Nerdcore is another show coming up, a show that I will be hosting. I don't have a fancy commercial made for it yet, but I will by next week, so you can be on the lookout for that, where all the biggest problems in the nerd world will be settled in the courtroom. It's going to be lots of fun. A little more information will be added to that over the next few weeks, so stay tuned for that. MegaPowersRadio.com. And with that, folks, we thank y'all for listening here tonight. I'm Mike Payden, for Miguel Leon, for Stephen Wago, and Tony Mango. This has been the NPR Raw Post Show. Have a good night, everyone. We'll see y'all next week. Keep on rocking.
Hey, Dace Tattoo Nation, it is I, Chris, the Dace Man Dace, host of the Dace Man Show, checking in with you guys to let you know of a new podcast debuting April 13th called Four Real Movie Club here on Mega Powers Radio. Join me for the month of April as I moderate a panel of four movie buffs and we discuss Mel Brooks films. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's April 13th. Tune your radios to Mega Powers Radio, and ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime.